The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
That's right, in the spirit of the playoffs here in Washington. Indeed, the playoff hope of the Redskins yet again is alive. Right. And yet again, thanks to the Dallas Cowboys.
Seem
to just, number one, can't lose. And number two, wants to keep the Redskins in the playoffs. They want everybody in NFC East to eat, it seems like, right?
Talking about a horror movie, man. Yeah, having to root for the Cowboys, man, in order to make the playoffs. That's just not
it
right.
It was just a tough deal for me yesterday, having to root for the Cowboys against Detroit. So the Cowboys beat Detroit handily in Dallas in a game that was meaningless for Dallas, but they still go out, take care of business, 42-21, even whipped out a few trick plays against the Lions. And so the Cowboys improved to 13-2. Redskins fans all over the place feeling bipolar, if you will, because you feel the way you always feel when the Cowboys score, when they're winning. But then you realize it's helping you out. And so you've got to kind of root for them, because without that, the Redskins would be eliminated from the playoffs, or at least it would be super hard to get in. Now the pathway is clear and easy yet again.
Yep, it's just simple.
Beat the Giants on Sunday.
All we got to do.
And hope that Green Bay and Detroit, that they don't tie Sunday night. And of course they won't tie, because ties never happen. Oh, wait, no, ties do happen in this league, because the Redskins had a tie earlier.
So if they tie, that means Detroit is in, right? And Burgundy and Gold is out if Detroit and Green Bay tie.
I think that brings someone else in the equation.
Yeah, Detroit, because right now Detroit's
right,
out
of right,
it.
Right, correct. Yeah. So Detroit, I think, one of them would win the North.
Yeah, the Green Bay would win the North. Detroit would be the wild card because of the head-to-head record. Do you believe in conspiracy theories, man?
Here's what I was going to say. It brings up something kind of goofy, right? You know, what if you get the front office of the two teams together, the coaches sit down and say, hey, look, we can either beat each other's heads in and one of us make the playoffs, the other one doesn't. Or, you know, if the Redskins win, why don't we just tie 0-0 and then we're both in? You know, and then we both get in.
Why not?
But see, I'm not sure how Tampa Bay plays into it, but Tampa Bay still isn't eliminated yet. And so maybe if Tampa wins or something else happens, then Tampa will get that last spot. I'm not sure how all that works. But you brought up the first thing, you know, again, this is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here in the Federal News Radio studios yesterday, before the Cowboys game, I was here doing some sports work, talking to Jimmy Argroves, and I was trying to figure out, wait, is it if the Packers and Lions tie, do both of them make the playoffs? Because if that's so, then what's your motivation to play or beat each other?
Other than
one game at home. Why not we both just get in? Wouldn't that be weird? Some kind of conspiracy. But it would happen to the Redskins. It would happen. But now, we won't even talk about that. Let's talk about some real deal football. The Redskins got the Giants coming up. You win, and you're basically in the playoffs after all is said and done. Another game where you kind of control your own destiny for the most part. Because let's be real, we don't really believe that the Detroit Lions and Green Bay Packers game will end in a tie. Kevin, you win, and you're basically in.
Yeah, you feel a little better after you saw what happened to Chicago. But then again, the Chicago Bears are kind of like, what's a good word for it? Stinky. Right? That's a clinical term for it, right? And you're supposed to beat up on stinky teams. I understand that. But if it wasn't for the fact that they were stinky, the Bears would have been competitive in that game.
Uh-huh.
This is still the same team that we've been talking about all year long. As a fan, I'm happy to make it to the playoffs, but I want to go to the Super Bowl. But, you know, look, they can only play the hand that's dealt to them, right?
Right.
Kirk Cousins had another high yardage, a good, efficient game. The defense picked off five passes. defenses. That, look, this defense, the Burgundy and Gold defense, the same defense we've been just berating and belittling all year long.
Right.
Picked, but you remember a couple of years back, D'Angelo Hall personally picked out four in right. Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. So it's something that they have against the Bears, right? It's just this little thing going here. I'm excited. I want to see what this team can do. I want to see, I mean, the first time making the playoffs back-to-back in recent memory, I'd say a good 15, 16 years since that's happened. So, you know, this is a different kind of time for this town, right? This is what we have learned to expect as fans of the Burgundy and Gold.
Right, no, absolutely. And again, I mean, what you saw against Chicago, just in effort and execution and seemingly ready to play this game is what you hoped you would have saw against Carolina, right? And that's what we talked about, that the game in the Carolina game is you got to come out ready to play. You got to come out ready for this because you had – now, oddly enough – Carolina had nothing to play for. The Redskins had something to play for. Skins laid an egg. You know, Dallas really didn't have anything to play for. Detroit had everything to play for, and Detroit laid an egg. You know, it's just weird the way this happens, but you figure that you... Now, Detroit didn't necessarily, I guess, lay an egg. I mean, the score was tied 21-21 at halftime, so I guess they came ready to play. But this is the game you wanted to see against Carolina, right? From the Redskins. And you come out, again, you've got to beat Chicago. And we said that last week. We're not even going to talk about playoff scenarios. The one thing we want to talk about is beat Chicago. You beat Chicago and you see where you are after the week. Now, here's the thing. You're facing a Giants team who also has nothing to play for this upcoming week, right? I mean, the Giants already have the fifth spot locked up. They don't gain or lose anything by winning or losing. Number five, that's them. They're there. The question is, will the Giants rest some of their starters?
You know, that's an interesting dilemma because, you know, you have a first-year head coach in Ben McAdoo who has not been faced with this dilemma before, you know, because it's always the best time to look at a situation like this is, like, in retrospect. Like, if somebody plays and gets hurt, everyone in the world will say, well, why was he playing, right? If they mess around and lose their edge or didn't, you know, when they get to the playoffs and they're not crisp, they're not sharp, they'll say, it's because so many players were sitting down, right, you know. So it's a dilemma. What worries me the most is that the Burgundy and Gold will just assume that the Giants is not going to bring a full effort. They're just going to mail it in.
Right.
Because that's dangerous, right? Because that's really dangerous because there's still, you know, that pride factor. There's still the NFC East involved. There's still the fact that the Burgundy and Gold beat the Giants earlier this year on a Eli Manning mistake late in the game to Sue Craven. So let's just not assume because they're already in the playoffs that this is going to be a cakewalk.
Right.
Far from it.
So I'm looking at some of these playoff scenarios, right? It's really weird because Tampa Bay can still get in, right? They needed the Cowboys to beat the Lions, which happened. But it says if Detroit would have beat Dallas, then the Lions would clinch the playoffs and would eliminate the Bucks. So that didn't happen.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just real weird how many things need to happen. So it looks like so the Cowboys beat the Lions. What the Buccaneers need, they need to beat the Panthers, the Cowboys to beat the Eagles. For some reason, the Titans to beat Houston, Colts over Jaguars.
No, man. What is this? Yeah, it's got to be it must be the bookies page.
And the Lions to beat the Packers. Saints over the Seahawks and the Giants to tie the Redskins.
Oh, that's for the trifecta or something. Man.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's got
to
have something to do with gambling.
The Buccaneers need all those eight results to go their way in order to get into the postseason.
Oh, no, that can't be right,
That's not going to happen.
That's why you can't believe the internet, man. You can't believe it unless you listen to the Federal Football Report online, right? But, yeah, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. If we beat the Giants, I say we, of course, because I'm a part of it. If we beat the Giants, we're in. Yeah, Roddy, that's right. If we beat the Giants, we're in. If the Giants beat us, we're out.
And I really think it just comes down to what effort are the Giants going to give. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it.
And I mean, we saw this last year. We saw this 2 years ago. And I think it was actually the Redskins in this position last year and the Cowboys in the position 2 years ago where they had the NFC East already clinched heading into the last week of the season. And the Redskins still played full out against Dallas and put a whooping on Dallas to end the season.
Yeah.
In return, well, 2 years ago, you know, Dallas did kind of the same thing to the Redskins. We had the East locked up, went to Washington, and beat the Skins big time. And so sometimes it's big, and you hear coaches talk about this, and this is kind of what went into, I think, what Dallas did yesterday with the Lions was this whole thing of trying to keep the rhythm going. You know, not wanting to break up the rhythm, wanting to keep a regular work schedule, and maybe the Giants do that. You know, maybe, you know, because, again, don't forget they lost to Philadelphia, which put them in this position, right? And so they're not firing on all cylinders at all. I mean, yeah, they beat Dallas a couple weeks ago, but that was a 10-7 game and a real sloppy game at New York. They lose to the Philadelphia Eagles. And so the Giants could use, you know, kind of a game to kind of get revved up, correct? I mean, it's not like they're firing on all cylinders and they're going to rest some guys because they're comfortable with where they are. They've got some big issues going into this playoff.
They're simply not good enough to be resting people.
Right, you know, right.
They need all the work they can get, right? So, you know, bringing in Gold fans, don't take this game lightly. Don't just assume that the Giants are going to lay down and roll over, right? This is going to be an NFC showdown. It's going to be the league thought so. They moved the time back to the prime time.
Got a flex game in there.
Yeah. You know, so they say, what's happening here? What is going on?
Who knows what's going on? This is
a playoff team, possibly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know? It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. 8-6-1. The Redskins improve to 8-6-1 after a 41-21 win on Christmas Eve, by the way, against the Chicago Bears on the road. Did what they had to do, went on the road, beat a team that they're just simply better than. You know, one thing about that game, I mean, you know, you talk about, and this could actually play into some discussion about Kirk Cousins, whether or not he gets this contract or not. I mean, you just saw what bad quarterbacking looked like with Matt Barkley.
it was
for a stretch there in the first half, I'm like, this guy cannot play NFL football right now. He's not ready. Not to say he can't get ready. He's not ready right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like he would hit a receiver, then he'd miss two. You couldn't tell which one he was throwing to because he missed both of them by equal distance, right? It's an amazing thing. But the thing about it is you have to take advantage of that. It's not our fault that he is a bad quarterback, right? You know. And still, with the bad quarterback play, they came back from a deficit and did they, I believe, tied the game in the first half, right?
You know? 20, at one point, 14-14, 24-14 at the half.
Oh, by the way, you notice who got the ball at the beginning of the game?
Yeah.
Yes, because the Bears deferred.
Right, correct. Which seemed to be the bad thing for them to do, right? The wrong thing, playing from behind already. Yeah. And so, yeah, the Redskins, again, improved to 8-6-1, 4-3-1 on the road, which brings up an interesting point because they will be playing on the road in the playoffs. All games will be on the road for the Redskins in the playoffs. And so, you know, look, again, playing a bad team, bad quarterback, still couldn't stop the run. Jordan Howard, 18 carries, 119 yards for the Bears.
And they stopped giving it to him, you know?
Who knows why, right? Well, I guess if you're playing behind by that much, you almost have to, right?
Hey, they'd still count the points if you ran them in or threw them in, right? And your quarterback is not, you know, John Unitas, I play four or five tight ends and keep running. But, you know, thankfully they didn't do that, right? You know, I guess that's how maybe coaches get paid by the mile these days. You know,
right.
The more mileage your team gets, the more you get paid, right? But it is, you know, we were thankful. And then five picks, you know. At some point, after pick number three, I started to say, well, you know what? Maybe I should adjust what I'm doing here, right? You know? Like, and after number four, I say, okay, that's it. I'm not throwing no more.
Right. And it's like, you know what? Why not? What are we, 3-11? What do we have? What do we have?
Let it rip.
Let him throw the ball. Let's see what we have in this guy, right?
Somebody might catch something.
Speaking of seeing what we have and looking long term, Rob Kelly is day to day with that knee injury. No word yet on whether or not he'll be able to play Sunday. It's still early in the week. But again, with the game that you need to win to get into the playoffs, I would assume if he could go, he'd go. Mac Brown, obviously, and Chris Thompson can carry the load in his stead. But you want all of your guys there to try to get into this playoff game.
Isn't that something that Mac Brown, who was, if he was not a free agent, he was a low-round draft pick, and it's possible that the game, the most important game of the season, could be in his hands, right?
You know, that's absolutely. And what's also interesting, too, is the Redskins win and get into the playoffs. The number two seed could go either to Seattle or to Atlanta. It just depends on who wins there. It looks like if Atlanta wins that, they'll get the two seed, which means the Skins would have to go to Seattle to play that first playoff game on the road in Seattle against the Seahawks.
We've been there before, haven't we?
Right. And hasn't seemed to have too much luck with that.
Yeah, but
that's the playoff scenario. But look, it seems as if, you know, this playoff scenario, again, it plays right into Washington's hands. If you win, you're basically in. And they just got to take care of business, 425 against the New York Giants. I mean, we've talked about this before. You had the playoffs in your hands. It was control your own destiny. You falter Thanksgiving against Dallas. Have it again in your hands, and then you falter against Carolina. Dallas gives you another gift. So you have it right back in your hands again, and all you got to do is take care of business. The point is, take care of business, like we do here on the Federal Football Report.
What would it say about this team? you talk about being ill prepared, you know, against the Panthers. Now you got to give the Panthers some credit too.
Yeah, they played hard.
They played hard. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was the Norman factor, but they played inspired. And they had a good defensive game scheme against the Burgundy and Gold. The Bears. Yeah, you know, they did the best they could or whatever, right? You know, but it seems that we're going to have to pull out all the stops. I'm looking for like trick plays. I'm looking for all kinds of exotic blitz packages. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for like Kurt to throw the ball like 65 times.
Which seems to be like what they like to do, just throw the ball an awful heck of a lot, right?
Yeah, even, and it seemed to me it was a healthy lead. It was sort of like a 35 to 21 lead or something, healthy lead in the fourth quarter, and we were still throwing the ball.
You know, I was going to say, Kirk, and he only had 29 passes, which seemed like he had a lot more than that in the game, probably because, like you said, a lot of it was unnecessary passing towards the end of the game.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, we want to just, like, run the clock out and you know, get ready for the next game, but the forward pass is a part of ball control for this offense, and it's exciting. It's sexy to throw the ball, put up big fantasy football numbers.
Man, it's like, I get it.
Yeah, the late George Allen said, when you pass the ball, only three things can happen, and two of them are bad.
right. And you don't want that to happen.
You don't want to live like that. So, you know, I'm very anxious to see what in a true do-or-die game, truly a playoff game. This is what this is. It's a playoff game.
It's time to get serious, folks.
Yes, let's
playoff
see what
football.
They got.
And we're going to see what happens. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm even sitting in a different chair. I'm switching things up because of the playoff situation.
It's really,
just gotten more tense. I usually sit to the far left of the studio, over in a little corner, coddled over there,
right.
Reading down stats. Now I'm right in the middle of this big studio here, this desk. I'm right in the middle, man, where I've got good vision to Kevin, good vision to the board. My laptop's got space. I'm in playoff mode, man.
Yeah, really. Because see, this Claude surprised me, because usually this is what his mic sounds like if he was talking. But there's nobody there, right? Because he's in a different spot, right? Trip me out, right? And I understand what Josh Norman feels like now. If you look and you expect Josh to be on that one side and he's not there, that you kind of worry about that one side. But you can't worry about that side. You got to just look at the side that Josh is on.
I'm a travel host, man. I don't just stay in lockdown one side of the studio. I travel to multiple sides of the studio to try to provide you with great analysis week in and week out. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. We'll be back with the second segment of Playoff Edition. Possible playoff scenario edition of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com.
Are you one of those non-believers who think it's impossible for Santa to make all those deliveries in a single night? Well, maybe he's an engineer. Santa and his elves have been working on gift-delivering technologies undistracted for a long time, figures North Carolina State University engineer Larry Silverberg. He says perhaps they've discovered how to make the weird concepts Einstein showed us practical in the form of relativity clouds.
In these relativity clouds, space and time act differently.
So Silverberg calculates Christmas Eve as 6 Santa months and says altering space lets him morph into houses.
In homes where you don't have chimneys, I don't think the children have anything to worry about.
And not all the presents are carried in that sleigh.
Santa Claus knows how to create so-called nano toy makers that would actually grow the presents under the tree.
Silverberg says don't be skeptical.
If you stick to your childlike instincts and you look around and you look at all the things that are possible that really seem magical in everyday life,
it isn't so hard to believe. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500. AM.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom.
I go to school with your children.
We say the Pledge of Allegiance together.
You see me around the neighborhood and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every 5 children in America and I'm struggling with hunger.
This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we can grow up to be whatever we want.
I want to grow up to be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry.
There's enough food in this country to feed everybody.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger.
Together, we are Feeding America, brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Federal Football Report, a possible playoff preview version of the Federal Football Report. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield, getting ready for the playoffs. It's funny because we were talking about all these different playoff scenarios, and and I was reading on the NFL website, and we're talking about the different ways that even Tampa Bay could get back in, because basically everyone else in the NFC is eliminated. And as it stands right now, Dallas is the number one seed. Atlanta's the number two seed, but they could drop if Seattle wins. Seattle's the number three seed. They can move up, but they've got to win. They need a Falcons loss, and they need Green Bay to beat Detroit if they had to move up to the number two seed. Also, you've got Green Bay, who obviously got to beat Detroit to get in to win the North. They'll be the four seed. The Giants have the five seed locked up. Doesn't matter what happens, because they clinched because Dallas beat the Bucks, which also kept the Redskins in there. Giants 10-5. They're going to stay at the five seed. Hopefully everybody's able to follow along with this. Detroit is the sixth seed. And again, but they won't make the playoffs if they lose to Green Bay. Now, if they tie, I think they both get in because it eliminates the Redskins.
That's right. So, you know, no matter.
And so we're just like, well, wouldn't it just be wild? You know what I mean? But anyway, that brought us to the point, well, the Redskins win, and if the Lions and Packers don't tie, then the Redskins are in. But there's still a slight chance that Tampa Bay gets in, right? And so, now again, Tampa Bay, who lost to the Saints this past weekend, really hurt their chances because they were in the driver's seat. And so the Redskins caught a blessing, if you will, in the season of blessings with Tampa Bay losing to the Saints. But I'm on the NFL's website. Now, again, we never claim to be experts on anything.
We're
just two guys who like football who they gave a radio show to.
Better than a lot of people, but not experts, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, not experts. We're better than a lot of people listening to the show. But what I need to know is NFL.com or the CBS Sports, it wasn't NFL, CBS Sports put this playoff scenario together for all these teams. And here they said the Buccaneers need these eight results to help them get into the postseason. They needed the Lions to lose to the Cowboys, which happened. So that's number one off the list. The next seven was the Buccaneers need to beat the Panthers on Sunday. They control that.
Right.
I understand that.
Right.
The Cowboys need to beat the Eagles.
Right.
I kind of get that because maybe there's a loss to the Eagles somewhere or something. I get that. Then it says they need the Titans to beat the Houston Texans. And it tripped me out in the first segment because I'm like, wait a minute, am I reading this right? Is this the right article?
What does this have to do with anything, right?
And if that wasn't confusing, here's what's more confusing. Then they said another piece of the puzzle would be that the Colts need to beat the Jaguars.
Yeah, you know.
Why do the Buccaneers need any AFC teams to lose or win?
That just, like I said before, don't believe what you see on the internet.
What is CBS Sports doing? You know, and here's the thing. You know, we prep for this show, but we don't overly prep. Maybe there's something I don't know, which is possible. But I'm trying to figure out why would this this is not the college football stuff where we consider strength of schedule. You know what I mean? Well, they beat the Titans, who beat the Texans, who lost to the Colts, but they beat the Jaguars. Like, what is that all about?
Apparently CBS Sports doesn't prep a whole lot either.
Then they need the 49ers to beat the Seahawks.
No. Here's all we need.
They need the Giants to tie the Redskins.
No.
And the Lions to beat the Packers.
If the Giants and the Redskins tie, it's probably an earthquake on the West Coast.
It's weird.
It's all we need to do. We need to handle our business.
Man, if the Cowboys, Titans, and Colts all win, which seems doable, says the Bucks and the Bucks beat the Panthers, then their playoff hopes are still alive. But they don't explain why the Titans or Colts even matter.
They don't matter.
They don't.
There's something wrong. Here's we got to beat the Giants. That's it. Case closed.
It looks like the only way they would get in is there would be a tie situation. And then so strength of victory does count in certain situations. Bucks would need the Jaguars and Texans to lose in order to hurt the Packers' strength of victory because they can't get a better record than the Packers, but strength of victory when they don't have a head against common opponents.
Okay, all right, that makes some sense, right? Okay, CBS, I apologize. But
why do you wait all the way to the bottom of the page to explain that as opposed to just saying
And how do we know it's really true?
Right, this is so convoluted.
What if after we beat the Giants, they come and say, oh, you know what, we made a mistake. You all eliminated last week.
Right, yeah, so sorry that we let you down. The wrong path.
Okay, well, let's not take any chances. Let's go ahead and beat the Giants, right? Let's go ahead and take care of business.
for those who are betting this, you know, it says Vegas laid down, someone in Vegas laid down $9,000 on Tampa Bay to win the Super Bowl before the season started.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope he didn't need that.
Hope he didn't need that nine.
Apparently he didn't because he went down there. Yeah.
It's okay. A little weird. So anyway, the Redskins beat the Bears 41-21. A whole bunch of other things happened to keep their playoff hopes alive. They could still clinch a playoff berth with a win as long as the Packers and the Lions don't tie. What's weird, too, about this CBS sports breakdown, and I'm looking on NFL.com and everything else, they don't explain that, you know, well, if the Redskins win and the Packers and Lions both tie, I guess that actually, the Redskins wouldn't get in. But I'm trying to figure out then who would be that final seed.
Oh, they just wouldn't have a last playoff.
Would it literally be Green Bay and Detroit?
Yeah. If the tie thing happens.
Yeah, it looks like it would be Green Bay and Detroit.
So yeah.
I mean.
Because I believe.
I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist. The Redskins beat both of these teams. No, the Detroit beat the Skins.
But
the Skins beat Green Bay.
Yeah, that was the how you like me now game.
Yeah. Right,
that counted for points too, right? They would have both made it except for the how you like me now.
So
that added additional points, right? You know.
And but the Redskins would have.
You know what? That would be the rematch of the century.
But the Redskins would have the tie break, but the Packers would probably win the North.
Oh, yeah.
And the Lions would get in
right
at the six.
Right.
That brings up the point. If the Redskins win, why wouldn't the Packers and Lions just tie each other in a 0-0 game and both get in the playoffs?
No, because Aaron Rodgers wants revenge for the how you like me now game. That's right. That's all he has to play for right now. You know, he's like, I don't care. I just want to watch it, right?
But that's weird because the Redskins wouldn't play the Packers. They would play either the Seattle Seahawks or the Falcons.
Well, yeah, but Aaron Rodgers doesn't know about
he that. Doesn't do the math.
He's busy doing all State Farm commercials.
He's too
busy
doing that stuff. Oh, goodness gracious. This is what happened with these playoffs. So anyway, let's get back to some stuff that we can actually that we know happened, and
that is
speculation and things like that.
It's all speculation. That's true. Right? You have no idea what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, and what could easily happen is the Redskins sit there, they play the game, they win, and then it's all pretty much said and done, and the Packers win, and who knows what. But anyway, so look, let's take a look at some of the performances from Christmas Eve game. Now, did you have a chance to watch the game on Christmas Eve? Because people are out, they're shopping, they're doing certain things.
Yeah.
I had a family gathering that ended at 1:05.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And as soon as it was over, I cut the television on.
Well, my family gathering began at like 3:30, 3:45. I did have a chance to watch the game. I was amazingly disinterested because of the way it was going. I feel like I can't enjoy them beating up on these Bears like this, right? You know, I feel kind of bad for the Bears. But, you know, interestingly, and we're probably going to touch on this later, having had the NFL package this year. Thank you, DirecTV. Uh-huh. And that's not a plug. We're not paying for this, right? I was able to watch some other games, so I was switching back and forth, and I actually had a chance to see the Cleveland-San Diego game.
Right.
And this was an interesting aspect of this game. My wife brought this to my attention. Cleveland hasn't won a game all year.
Mm-hmm.
It was Christmas Eve. I think the temperature was in the 20s.
Right.
The fans were absolutely packed.
Nice.
Fans,
they were out there.
They were out there and they were supporting the team, and the team rewarded them with a victory. And you thought
no one sold their tickets. It's cold.
And they were wearing brown. That's right.
It was cold. Haven't won a game all year. And it's Christmas Eve.
Right. Absolutely. No one sold their tickets, and they all showed up, right? And you would have thought it was the Super Bowl. Now, RG3, leading the team to a 2017 lead, suffered a concussion, which, you know, is something. It's like, what's in common with all this? Every quarterback gets hurt in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I think but like I said, with their fan support, And just the reaction of the players, that was weird. They hadn't won a game who knows how long, right? Johnny Manziel won the last game they won in Cleveland, right? You know,
right.
And just to see the crowd reaction and the players' reaction, that I'll say it was something special, right?
Yeah,
so I'm thinking that no matter, you know, people around here have their opinions of RG3 for whatever reason it might be. I think a little of it is induced, and I think, you know, anything's possible, right? Donald Trump's president, right? Anything's possible, But you know, this guy may have found a home right there, right? So that back to your original point. I watched the game. I thought it was all right.
I was watching the game. I wasn't really interested in it, you know, other than the obvious, you know, for the show and for playoff, you know, hopes and dreams. But I didn't find myself very interested in the game. It seemed a little boring. I mean, like, again, a game that you should win. You expect right. to win this game. And they beat the Bears the way I expect this team to beat the Bears. You've got a high-powered offense. Kirk Cousins, I wouldn't say very efficient, but efficient enough. 18 for 29, 270, one touchdown. He didn't have to throw the ball 49 times. What do you know? Mm-hmm. Again, in a game, obviously, where they're up by a lot, they're going to run more. But they didn't seem to run a whole lot. I mean, you know, Fat Rob, 19 carries, 76 yards. Of course, he tweaked his knee a little bit. Mac Brown in relief, 8 carries, 82 yards, one touchdown. So that's what, 27 touches between the two of them. Chris Thompson adds 3, so that's 30. Not a whole lot of running the ball, but you know, you take that in a big win. I don't want to be too critical. DeSean Jackson again putting out some good resume tape for some other teams who may want him next year. Yeah. 5 catches, 114 yards. Pierre Garçon, who continues just to be solid and I believe underrated, 4 catches, 94 yards.
Yeah, that's like you say, efficiency, looking ahead, I think that lineup might present a couple of problems. I mean, even with the burst that Fat Rob has given them, and with Chris Thompson, and now with Mac Brown, what you have is an inexperience going into the playoffs, right, especially when it comes to blitz pickups. Because here's the thing, as you get to the playoffs, you're starting to play against the best teams
right? Yeah,
you know, this record is what now, 8-6-1? Mm-hmm. So that means we've beaten half the teams that we played this year, right?
Let's take a look at the schedule and see just how many playoff teams that they've beaten or lost to. So the Steelers are our playoff team, lost to the Steelers.
Yep.
Cowboys are playoff team, lost to the Cowboys in week 2. Beat the Giants, who are our playoff team. So that's one playoff team they've beaten.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the Browns, they're not a playoff team. Beat the Ravens, not a playoff team. Beat the Eagles, not a playoff team. Lost to the Lions, that's a playoff team. So that's another playoff team you lose to. Tied to the Bengals, not a playoff team. Beat the Vikings, not a playoff team. Beat the Packers, they could be a playoff team.
Yeah,
that's two playoff teams.
Like a pattern emerging here.
Lose to the Cowboys, that's a playoff team. They lose to the Cardinals, not a playoff team. Beat the Eagles, that's not a playoff team. Lose to the Panthers, they're not a playoff team. And you beat the Bears, not a playoff team. And so out of your 8 wins right now, only 2 come against playoff teams.
Right, and then
and one was against the Packers, who you know, Aaron Rodgers says, hey, we're not going to lose another game. They haven't
since then.
And
I think he was sick that night. There was something wrong with him.
Correct. And the other playoff team was the Giants, and that was just a two-point win, and you played them twice. And so let's see what happens this Sunday.
As a fan, do I have the right to demand that this team starts dominating people? I mean, should I expect that? Maybe I'm just looking at it wrong, because that's what I want from my team. I'm glad to get into the playoffs, but I want to beat them, right? As a fan, do I have that right to expect my team
to get in the playoffs and win in the playoffs?
And just win, right? To expect to win.
Well, see, here's the thing. As NFC East champs, and you make it back to the playoffs, if indeed they make it back to the playoffs, what then qualifies as success? Because I think as an NFC East champion, made the playoffs last year, getting back to the playoffs and losing in the first round is not a successful season to me.
No, not at all.
Not with the expectations heading into the season. I think you've got to win in the first round, definitely in the wild card round, and maybe make a push to make to the divisional round, depending on who you play. Now, this sets up to if the Redskins do win, they're going to have to go to Dallas in the second round.
Well, yeah, we're not scared of Dallas, man. Dallas, although they got the best record, you know, and then probably the co-rookies of the year and all that. Dallas, the only thing that concerns me about Dallas is, you know, everybody was saying, like, this is the same team, you know, except for Dak and Zeke, you know. But now they have this record under their belts. And the more teams like that start to win, it doesn't matter who the guy was starting out. Now they feel like they're all pros.
Right.
You know, feel they start, and that does something to a guy, to his performance, right? You feel like you're doing everything. It gives you more confidence,
well,
right?
Well, and you see that confidence breeding through their defense. I mean, the weak point in the Cowboys team is obviously the defense, and it's been the defense all season, except for maybe the last 3 or 4 weeks, the defense have actually stepped up. And so it's like, well, you get in the playoffs, home field advantage. Defense playing a little better. They may get a little healthier. They've been missing 3 or 4 players, 3 or 4 starters, and it's starting to come back. You know, who knows what Rod Marinelli can dial up for this. But, you know, again, to your point, this is a division foe who you lost to twice in close games. That's a pretty good draw if you get the Cowboys.
Now, we got to hope that we got to hope that Joe Barry can and pull a rabbit out of his hat and come up with something. You would hope that he would have become a little bit more innovative or learn to use the talent that's on this team in a method that's conducive to success. Not so much trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, but say, let's see what we got here. Let's see how many square pegs we can fit into this thing, right? There were some good performances on the defense, like Preston Smith was acting like, you know, whatever was holding him back. And he was just like, you know, release the Kraken. You know, right. He was playing like people thought that he would have been playing all year long, right? You know? Rashard Breland had a good game.
He had a really good game. Yeah.
The linebacking core had a good game, right? That helped with the return of Will Compton. It's just that you know, I don't know. I don't know. I'd love to say I'm all, you know, all out for week 16, 17, right? It's just that I got a little air of cautious optimism, let's call it like that, because these are still the same guys that lost to Carolina. And the personnel, they've gotten younger, they've gotten more eager, they've gained more experience for whatever reason, but there's still little things happening here that bother me. For instance, perfect example, I hear Sue Cravens mentioned next week, next year I'm going to be playing safety. Okay, well, it seems like we've been having a little problem at the safety position this year.
Right.
Why aren't you back there now?
You know? Right.
Why wait?
What are you waiting for?
What are you going to learn this summer that you can't do right now?
And why can't you do that next game? Like, why, if you can help the team by playing safety, why aren't you doing it now?
Why are you not doing it? Okay. You know, some little things like that, you know, just, you know, it makes me wonder. Because I know. I'm a fan, you know. First and foremost, I'm a fan. But you know, this is the Federal Football Report. We're not just fans. We give you truthful analysis.
Correct.
And this team, as someone said, scares the bejesus out of it.
We have reason to worry when it comes to.
Yeah. I'm confident. I'm confident we can do it. Let's go.
Well, we'll talk about that in the next segment. We'll take a look at the Giants game. What do we have to do to win this game or give yourselves a chance to win this game? Also, I heard that if the Cleveland Cavaliers lose two out of the next three, that also helps the Buccaneers' chances somehow of getting into the playoffs. That's we'll discuss right. all that and more. Also, Kevin's not the only one falling asleep in the movie theater.
That's right.
We'll have that story coming up next on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.
During this busy holiday travel season and beyond, the FBI is asking those who cross our nation's borders, use airports and other ports of entry, to keep an eye out for border corruption.
You just have to keep your eyes open and be situationally aware. And if you see a screener doing something they shouldn't be, you see an official taking money, if you see something that's suspicious, then you have to report it.
That was Supervisory Special Agent Teresa Tambubalon, who says not only does border corruption lead to drug, weapon, and sex trafficking, it can jeopardize our country's national security.
National security is border security. It really is. To protect our nation, we got to protect our borders. Everything. National security is border security, and the threat is real.
Don't turn a blind eye. Report border corruption to the FBI at tips.fbi.gov. Support the effort on social media using hashtag report border corruption. With FBI This Week, I'm Molly Halpern of the Bureau.
Join Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller for Ask the CIO, Thursdays at 10 and 2. Hear from your agency's top tech leaders on how they're using technology to change the way you meet your agency's mission. Ask the CIO is a must-listen for anyone who needs to know federal technology policy, implementation, and planning. Ask the CIO, Thursdays at 10 and 2 on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Download at any time at federalnewsradio.com. Search Ask CIO.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. Federalnewsradio.com is the website. 1500 AM is the radio station. In case you want to just tune your radios. You know the little radios, you got to turn the knob or whatever. Just try to get it
in the old days.
Yeah, try to get it right in between 1490 and 1510. somewhere in between there. Glad to be with you talking playoff scenarios. If you thought the first two segments playoff scenario talk was confusing, you should have heard us during the commercial break.
Yeah, really. I don't know. We read like four or five different websites. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think anybody can make the playoffs now, right? Only two teams can make it.
You know. It's just
They got scenarios on, and no, I'm not going to give the website. Just look it out for yourself, right? But but they got scenarios like if there's a volcano, you know, Mount Vesuvius, like one team might make it, right?
Right. Yeah, it's just all over the place.
It's crazy.
And by you know
the
way, what? Mm-hmm.
No, I was going to say, I'm tired of this. You know, I'm tired of this. I want, you know how you look at the standings and they have the little asterisk and it says clinch playoff.
The why if you've got home field and all that.
I want the Burgundy and Gold to be like that, like in week 11, right? Right. You know, this is what we deserve as fans, right? This squeaking by. Don't settle, people. Don't settle. You deserve better. You come from a proud football tradition in this town. Don't settle. And also, don't sell your tickets.
Right, exactly. Fans don't. And by the way, you know, we have one person to blame for all this.
One person. If you don't make the playoffs, don't blame the Giants. Don't blame these weird scenarios.
Don't blame Detroit or Green Bay for tying on purpose.
Don't blame one person. The fault, if this team doesn't make the playoffs, Dustin Hopkins. In London. That's why.
Travel all the way to London to tie a game.
Right. It didn't seem, they seemed like, oh, it's just a lost thing. But think about it. Think about it. That one kick. That one, and whoever called timeout before that to ice him, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But, that one kick. That's what did it.
The Redskins would be 9-6 if not for that tie. And then again, if they would have, and now here we get into scenarios, a what if scenario of playoff. So anyway, if the Redskins would not have tied that, they would be 9-6. And again, if they would just beat the Giants, they would probably get to the fourth place because they would have the head to head over the Giants. So they would be, they would have the fifth place playoff spot, maybe even the fourth place.
Right, because they got the head-to-head over Green Bay.
They got the head-to-head over Green Bay, and they would not have the head-to-head over Detroit. So if Detroit would beat Green Bay, then they would have the five. And so, I mean, you got a whole situation there.
Right, okay? You're talking about seeding now, right? You know, instead of talking about, ooh, I hope we make it. Yeah,
right.
So Mr. Hopkins toe is what's causing all this right now.
I still can't get over the fact that if the Redskins win, Green Bay and Detroit could just decide to tie each other, and the Redskins would be out.
They're not that ruthless. They would have to specifically. Well, then again, you know, we didn't plan on tying Cincinnati either, did we? We didn't plan on that happening. You know?
This is weird to me, right? It's like, you know, look, we can battle it out like fools, and one of us miss it, or we could just tie, and we both get in to fight another day.
That's the clinical definition of irony, right there.
That's just that a tie could keep the Redskins out because two teams. Just decide. I mean, obviously, you would have some kind of situation with the league and competition committee or rules committee and someone being mad or whatever, but who cares? We're in the playoffs. I mean, like, honestly, two teams could literally tie and figure out, hey, if the Redskins win, we're still in if we both tie.
Yeah, well, fortunately.
Now, if the Redskins lose, they're both in as well.
Yeah, you know,
so if the Redskins lose, we play it out.
The two teams involved in this, if the game means something to them. If they tie, they're both in.
Right.
You know, it would have to be some money exchanging hands and all
something
that, right?
Something so
and,
weird.
You know, there's not a whole lot of money in the NFL, so you know, I doubt that's happening, right? You know, so.
Oh, boy. So anyway, that's just wild. So, Kevin, you did a movie review last show. And you talked about how you fell asleep in the first 15 minutes of the show, of the movie.
Yeah, Rogue One. I felt kind of bad because I'm, you know, world-renowned movie critic. You know, from the fact that we're on the World Wide Web and I do movie reviews, so I must be world-renowned. Right. You know I do it, so that's world-renowned, right? You know, I felt kind of bad before because it just wasn't happening for me. You know, it recovered nicely, right? But it initially, right? And I saw it in the middle of the daytime, too, right? So, so I just thought that was just me. Until I saw this article the other day that... in an Oregon theater, when Justin Hayworth settled in to watch Rogue One, a Star Wars story, at the Cornelius Nine Cinemas Friday night, he's got his money's worth of adventure. Not from the movie itself. He reportedly slept through most of it, right? Now, this is another guy, right, who didn't find this thing captivating when he first started watching it. Except, like, I recovered. I woke up right before they started blowing up planets and stuff.
And so you saw the good part.
I saw the good part. But Justin did not. Because he kept sleeping as employees shut the cinema down, locked up, and went home for the night.
No.
So he sat down and paid like $10-$12 to see Star Wars, woke up. Not only was the movie over, but everyone had gone home and locked up.
He was locked in the theater.
He was locked in. So if I was him, I'd call Disney Films and get my money back. I said, look, y'all got to keep me more excited than that to put me asleep at a Star Wars movie, right?
You know? Why didn't anyone wake him up?
That's a good question, right? Maybe in Oregon, they're very polite. They didn't want to disturb him, right?
He seems like he's sleeping peacefully.
Yes. Let's just somebody will wake him up. And obviously, they don't sweep the theater at night.
Right? Yeah, clearly not.
Maybe they wait until the next morning.
Did the story go go on to say what happened the next morning? Like, did he wake up?
He woke up
the next morning
at 1 a.m. He woke up at 1 a.m. Now I'm assuming he was at the late showing, right? You know, maybe started at 9, right? He just went to sleep, and what he did is he called 911, explained to him what happened, and after they laughed at him like quite soundly, right. They told him just go through the emergency exit. They were aware that there was him going out of the emergency exit, so if it set off the alarm, they just reset the alarm.
Unbelievable!
And fortunately, there was no crime committed. There is no law against.
Now, see, here's the thing. I was going to say if this were me and I paid that and no one's there, obviously, I might try to figure out if I could turn the movie back on. I mean, I paid for it,
right,
and I missed it. No one woke me up, so apparently you don't mind me being here.
Yeah, well.
You want to cut the popcorn machine on?
You know, but if the movie put you to sleep like it did me in the first place, you might not want to see it again. It might be dawn before you come up out of there, right? So I would recommend that you go see it. I think it has some great aspects to it, especially now with the passing of Carrie Fisher.
I was just going to mention that, Carrie Fisher passed today.
Yeah, so it means a lot to this film, right? And if it's interesting that the original Star Wars cast, they didn't age well. I mean, if you look, only one was Harrison Ford and maybe Yoda. but Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill to be like two young and up and coming actors, right? They time was not kind to them, and but Carrie made her efforts with her struggles with mental health and substance abuse. Right, she talked about it to the point of being an advocate. And I was surprised to learn that her mother, Debbie Reynolds, is still alive. Right, nothing personal, Debbie. Right. I know she's a big fan of the show, but you know, that's part of the American culture nowadays, right? You know, Princess Leia, Luke Skywalker, and all that, right? You know, so I was quite sad to hear about her passing. And like I said, the movie, in a way, is a tribute to her, right? Because that was the whole plot of Rogue One, like the plans that she hid in R2-D2 about the battle of the Death Star and all that. Yeah. Rogue One is about how the rebels got these plans, right?
And what's interesting, and you talked about, you know, it being a part of, you know, American culture, you know, and things like that. I also heard, you know, she had a big hand in writing or at least doctoring some of the scripts or helping with some of the scripts and rewrite some dialogue and things like that in some of the other Star Wars remakes and things like that.
Yeah, because her character, if you remember, like, you know, throughout history, like the woman character has been the old frail. We need, you know, John Wayne or somebody or James Bond to come in and rescue me, right? You know, in Star Wars, no, she grabbed a laser gun, was blasting the guys just like you were. A classic line. You call this a rescue?
Right.
You know,
right.
So so that, And you know, I don't want to, you know, divulge my age. I don't want anybody else to feel bad, but I saw Star Wars in the theater when it came out, right? You know, so Carrie, rest in peace, Carrie Fisher. You know, if she had been in the movie a little earlier, maybe I wouldn't have fallen asleep. That's all I gotta say, you know. But because that first 20 minutes, I can understand why this guy fell asleep in the theater.
Absolutely. Well, it's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Some guy falls asleep in the theater. He's locked in. That's kind of funny, right? So anyway, let's take a look at the schedule for next week. If we can get this loaded up here on my computer screen.
Well,
week
17. That we're at 425. We're
absolutely.
425.
We won't pay attention to any teams that's eliminated from the playoffs or any teams that we don't necessarily care about.
Yeah, right. You know, who else is playing? Is anybody else playing
so
that day?
So Baltimore's playing. Yeah, and well, that's a good point because, you know, this late in the season, usually there's some games that are on like a Saturday or a Friday. That kind of weird thing. Everybody's playing on Sunday. So let's see. We've got we don't care about Baltimore at Cincinnati. We don't really care about Houston at Tennessee unless you're a Buccaneers fan because for some reason that has something to do with it. Let's see. Carolina at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay fans care about that. We don't. Jacksonville at Indianapolis. Again, another game that affects Tampa Bay fans Tampa Bay playoffs. New England at Miami. We don't care about that game. Let's see. Chicago at Minnesota. We don't care about that. Buffalo, who just fired Rex Ryan. By the way, the Ryan brothers, two of the most overrated coaches in football.
Really?
Am I right about that?
Oh, I was going to say that maybe he'd fit in as a defensive coordinator somewhere on a team that barely made the playoffs.
That needs a defensive coordinator.
Throwing that out there. Just throwing it out there.
Well, we'll see. We don't care about the New England-Miami game.
Not bad.
Chicago at Minnesota, don't care about that. Both of their seasons end on Sunday. Yeah, Buffalo, New York. Dallas at Philadelphia, meaningless game for Dallas. I don't know if we care about that or whatever.
I don't necessarily care about that.
Cleveland at Pittsburgh, we do care. Can Cleveland win their second game of the season? Will RG3 play or be sat out because of the concussion protocol? Pittsburgh has nothing to play for, so you know, who knows? We'll see. We don't care about that either. New Orleans at Atlanta, we don't care about that. Here's the one we care about. New York at Washington. Home team, don't sell these tickets.
No, man, anybody who is selling tickets to this game, unless you sell them to a boy Rodney Henderson, he probably could go for two, right?
Right, exactly.
But yeah, sell them to Rodney. If you don't sell them to Rodney, you better not sell them at all.
Arizona at Los Angeles, we don't really care about that game. Neither one of those teams. Oakland at Denver. Bad luck for Derek Carr, right?
Yes.
Now, here's what's interesting. Oakland can use this game. Denver's eliminated. They need to use this game to get that backup ready to play some football, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've seen teams have rallied around their backup. There was a backup named Tom Brady who came in for the starting quarterback right about this time of the year. I was looking forward to a rematch of the Tuck Rule game. I don't know if football fans remember that snowy game in New England against the Raiders where they sacked Brady and he fumbled, but then they came up, one of the officials who must have had nothing else to do but read some obscure portions of the rule book said, oh no, this is the Tuck Rule, which no one had ever heard of in the history of the NFL, and they actually had to pull out the rule book and say, yes, it's kind of a rule, and the Patriots got to keep the ball and ended up beating the Rams in that Super Bowl, but that rule changed the course of the NFL.
Absolutely.
So I was looking for a rematch of that. So after a great season from Derek Carr, yeah, he has to be hurt. And the Oakland fans, you got to give it to the Oakland fans too. There's another group of people that come out in mass. Mm-hmm. They've supported that team through thin and thin.
And they could be moving to Las Vegas. And it seems likely that the team's going to move to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I guess so. But you know, I just heard a report the other day that the state of Oakland said, okay, whatever you want. So right now, it's up to the Raiders, so they're opening up the purse strings in Oakland, trying to get these guys there. So yeah, I'm kind of curious as to who the backup is in Oakland and what he can do with that offense.
Matt McGloin from Penn State.
Oh, Penn State is he a recent graduate of Penn State?
Let's see.
This is a guy who's been through some adversity, so he might be able to play.
Right. No. He's been in the league since 2013. Been with the Raiders since 2013.
Oh, well, you know, hey, this is what they pay him for.
Yeah, to be the backup. Career backup. He should know the system.
Here's the point. Mm-hmm. If he can't come in and play, why is he on your team? Okay? Right. Why'd you pick him, right?
That's a good point. And why is he still on the team?
I think Reggie McKenzie, one of those McKenzie brothers is the GM out there. Oakland, one used to play. I think one of them is in Green Bay because, from the Reggie and Raleigh, the twins, one was on the Super Bowl team here. Raleigh McKenzie was a guard on the 91 Burgundy and Gold team, and Reggie was a guard at for the Raiders. So
right,
so yeah, maybe I'm Reggie is the GM. Yeah.
Reggie, the Oakland Raiders. Yeah, so general manager. Reggie's the general manager.
Right. Because it's so weird because they're identical twins. Yeah. And we used to watch football back in the day and say, wow, why is Raleigh McKenzie in the Raider uniform? Oh, whoa, that's his brother? Right. So, you know, hopefully, some of that burgundy and gold influence or his brother pulled off, you know, rubbed off and they picked a good backup. Because, again, I say, if he can't play, why is he on your team?
Why is he on the team? No one cares about Kansas City going to San Diego. They don't care about Seattle at San Francisco.
Well,
Here's the other game.
It might be our opponent coming up, so we might have to scout them, yeah.
Your opponent, if we beat the Giants and Green Bay and Detroit, which is a Sunday night game, 8:30, does not end in a tie. I am just so fascinated to see what happens. Like going into that game, if the Redskins win and both teams just understand if we tie, we're both in.
Yeah. But, you know, that's an unlikely scenario because they'd have to go through overtime to do that, right?
Right.
And the only way you can go to overtime is if both teams just, you know, maybe somebody eats up all the clock and then somebody blocks a field goal and takes it down and the time expires, right? Because there's a lot at stake, you know, for both of those teams. If they ended up in a tie, man, I'd call like the X-Files.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, the only way I can even imagine this happening is if it's intentional. If they intentionally. Weird. One way or the other, we want to have some foolishness to talk about next week on the Federal Football Report. You make sure you tune in. FederalNewsRadio.com is the website, the radio station. If you're in the local D.C. area, 1500 AM.
We still alive.
On the Federal Football Report.